What is the Bible about? If you were to ask that question of a dozen people, you'd probably get a dozen different answers. But if you were to ask the Apostle Peter, this would be his answer. To Jesus Christ, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's found in Acts 10, verse 43. And from that passage and others like it, we learn that the entire Bible is centered on Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We invite you to join us this afternoon as we consider God's Word and what it reveals about Jesus Christ and his wonderful good news. Here's Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Good afternoon, and I'm glad you tuned in to this Wednesday edition of Gospel Talk. It's always good that we can get together every weekday afternoon at 2:45 here on KARI as we consider the wonderful truths of God's Word, as we consider the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to begin today, I just want to mention that we do have a blog for this radio program on the internet. And if you've heard a program and you want to listen to it over again, or, you know, if I mention any resources on the program, they'll be mentioned also on the website, on the blog. You can go back to that and have a look at that. Now, the blog address is Gospel Talk Radio, all one word, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. And if you do have any questions about anything you hear on the program, you can also leave a comment. You can leave your questions there on the blog. It's set up for that. You can also drop me an email if you like at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Gospeltalk, one word, @hotmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to be able to answer any questions that you may have about the Bible or about anything in the Christian faith or anything you hear on this program. So please do drop me a line, and I'll do my best to answer any questions that you may have. Well, this week on Gospel Talk, we're considering the doctrine or the teaching of the Bible regarding the resurrection of the body. Well, let's begin today by reviewing briefly the timing of the resurrection of the body. And again, here we have to be clear. We're talking about the resurrection, our resurrection, not the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day, but the resurrection of human beings. Now, very briefly, the Bible tells us that this will take place when Jesus Christ returns. When Jesus Christ returns a second time, human bodies and human souls will be reunited. And when that will be exactly, the Bible tells us that only one person knows, and that is God the Father. When Christ returns, the dead will be raised, and then comes the final judgment. When Christ returns, the dead will be raised. And the Bible is clear, friends, that all the dead will be raised, both believers and unbelievers. The souls and bodies of both believers and unbelievers, Christians and non-Christians, will be reunited. And we know that from passages like John 5, 28 and 29, where Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." And similarly, Paul says in Acts 24:15, "I have hope in God that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." That's Acts 24, verse 15. So, there is this twofold resurrection at the end. There is a resurrection of those who have been justified by faith in Christ, and there's also a resurrection of the wicked, those who are still in their sins, those who are still under the curse. The difference between these two is their destination after the resurrection. Jesus says that the just will rise to live. In John 10, verse 10, he said that he came so that we may have life and have it to the full. And then we have this wonderful passage from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, where Paul says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." That comes from Isaiah chapter 64 and also chapter 65 of Isaiah. Wonderful passage, wonderful thing we have to look forward to. Paul is describing there an indescribably wonderful, perfect blessedness. And so the difference between the just and the unjust, those who are right in Jesus Christ and those who are still under the curse, the difference is life. The difference is that those who are resting and trusting in Christ's perfect righteousness, they will have abundant life and they will have abundant comfort for eternity. And for believers, for us, that gives us perspective. That gives us the big picture as we continue on our pilgrimage through this world that's not really our home, this world where there's so much brokenness, where there's so much dysfunction. We're on our way to a better land, to the promised land, where there is perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. We can be sure of this comfort, because just as he said to Martha, Jesus is not only our resurrection, but he's also our life. And Jesus Christ being our life, well, let's consider what that means. Well, it means at least two things. First of all, Jesus Christ is the source of the life everlasting. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a crucial passage. Also in today's environment where we have so much pluralism, so many people who believe that there are different ways to go to God. No, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's an exclusive position. Believing in Jesus Christ, we can come to the Father. That's the only way to the Father. It's through Christ alone, because of Christ alone, that we have the life everlasting. He is the source of the life everlasting. He is the basis for our justification. And by justification, I mean God's declaration that we are right with him. That declaration can only come not because of anything that we have ever done, not because of any good works that we've ever performed, but only because of Jesus Christ. We can only be declared right by God because of Christ's perfect obedience, his perfect life, and then also because of his perfect satisfaction, his going to the cross for us and paying for all the times that we have failed. So Jesus Christ is the source of our justification. He is the basis for our justification. He is the source of the life everlasting. Jesus is our life also means that he is the one who publicly announces our eternal life at the last day. Look at Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, we learn that Jesus Christ is coming to judge the living and the dead. And at the last day, when he returns, we're told in Matthew 25 that he will separate the sheep from the goats. And to the goats he will say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's what he says to the goats. But to the sheep, to the believers, to all believers, he will publicly announce for the whole world to hear, and we too, we will hear these comforting words from his lips. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Aren't those beautiful words? "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." And what will happen after that? Well, the Lord Jesus says there in Matthew 25:46, that the goats, the unbelievers, will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now let's consider that eternal life a bit more carefully. Well, first of all, we have to be clear that when we die, our souls are immediately taken up to Christ in his presence. Immediately taken up to Christ in his presence. Think about that for a moment. And you want proof of that? Think of the thief on the cross who repented and believed. Jesus says to him in Luke 23:43, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And in Acts 7:59, when Stephen was stoned, he expected to be received by Christ right away. And that's reflected in his prayer. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And so too, when we die, And we all will have to face death at some point unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns. When we die, we can be absolutely sure that if we're resting and trusting in Christ, the moment our heart stops beating and we take our last breath, we will be immediately with God in heaven. That we will be free from sin and we will be free from its effects. Now I ask you, isn't that a wonderful, comforting thought? Isn't that a wonderful truth that the gospel brings us? Also wonderful and comforting is the truth that something even better is coming. Yes, it's true, we're going to be immediately be taken up to Christ after we die. But you know, that's not the end. That's not the final state of believers. The story is incomplete at that point. The drama of our redemption is not concluded. The drama continues when Christ returns and the dead are raised and we receive our bodies back and condemnation takes place for unbelievers and vindication for those who are righteous in Jesus Christ. When that last day comes, the Bible teaches us to expect something awesome. There will be a new creation, which will be a renewal of the present creation. The present creation will be purged and cleansed with fire. But not only that, but Revelation 21 leads us to expect a dramatic coming together, a dramatic conjunction, you could say, of heaven and earth. And this is the place where we will dwell forever in God's blessed presence. Hermann Bavinck is a famous Reformed theologian. He wrote a four-part systematic theology called Reformed Dogmatics, recently translated into English. Excellent book, excellent set of books. And in his Reformed Dogmatics, he deals with the doctrine of the end things, what we call eschatology. And Hermann Bavinck, in his Reformed Dogmatics, put it in a beautiful way when he says that at that moment, when heaven and earth come together, time will be charged with the eternity of God. Space will be full of his presence. Eternal becoming will be wedded to immutable being. And even the contrast between heaven and earth will be gone. Amazing, isn't it? Mind-blowing, incomprehensible. What a glorious hope that we have in the gospel. And I hope that's been an encouragement and blessing to you today. So until tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.
It was great that you could join us today for Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. This program has come to you today through the generous support of the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church. You can find the church in Yarrow at 42285 Yarrow Central Road. Worship services are at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. every Sunday. You can find more information about the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church at the website www.yarrow.canrc.org. That website again, www.yarrow.canrc.org. If you'd like more information on the program, please drop us a line through the mail. Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. Postal code V2Z1B3. You can drop us a line by email, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Again, that's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. We trust that this program has helped you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ again today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. And be sure to stay tuned tomorrow morning at 8:30 for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, right here on AM 550 KARI.